to preach God's word. Thank you for inviting me to preach. I'm fine just sitting down and listening. This has been one of the tools, I guess you can say, of God has used this camp in my life. And I just praise the Lord for that. I'm going to warn you about what I'm going to say. To many of you, it's not going to make no sense. And the reason may be because it's not for you. I was planning to preach something else. I thought I had my sermon last Sunday. Usually doesn't happen. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but surely it's not to boast myself, because this doesn't happen to me very often. I was woken at 3 in the morning on Tuesday with this passage. And I was trying to tell the Lord that he was wrong. that I have a better passage to preach on. So He told me there's somebody here that needs to hear this. And if there's somebody, just one person, that's fine. If you don't get anything, you just bear through it. Somebody else will come along and maybe preach something that you need. But I feel that I need to preach this because there might be somebody here that needs to hear this. And that's my prayer. I don't understand. Flip the switch. Just on. Okay. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't have no batteries. I do not know. Okay. With that said, I'm going to go to my passage. Proverbs. Chapter 3, verse 5. I've been preaching through John, and it's been a delight in my soul. I'm still in John, and I'm still preaching in John, and I've been preaching there for who knows how long, and it's been a very, very interesting thing. So, going to Proverbs, you know, I must trust the Lord on this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The tone of Proverbs is the tone of a father to a son. Fathers in the natural state have the best interest for their children. I know that the word son here is not really literally maybe a son that he has, but it's maybe pupils or somebody that is listening to him. But he says, my son, verse 4. I'm sorry. Verse 1 says, my son. And this is not something this is not a passage that I want to talk about, but it is important for parents to have a true desire for their children to understand things of God. I hear so many times in churches that the responsibility of people, of children, or is for the church to teach them. It's for the Sunday school teacher to be in charge of their children. But I disagree. I used to believe the same way, but I disagree now. It is my privilege. It is my responsibility. Me alone, as a father, to tell my children about the things of God. It is important that a father will be involved in the teaching of the children. If the father is a Christian, it is important, a professing Christian, it is important for the father to open the Bible and say, this is what the Lord says. Not the woman. It is good for the woman to do that, but it is important for the father to do that too. There was a lady on the radio that said, you know, I'm sick and tired of the school system. They don't teach them morals. And the guy, the DJ on the radio station was saying, he wasn't a Christian, he was saying, ma'am, that's not their job. It is your job. And many times we just lay back and grumble about things, about the church, and say, well, things are not being said, there's nothing for my children. Listen, there is plenty for the children. Jesus is the only thing that we offer and the only thing we have. It is not the responsibility of the church to teach your children. It is your responsibility. I take this from the Bible. Like Brother Marty says, I read that in the Bible. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And you say, well, you know, the Bible is just too difficult to understand. So we have to water it down for our children. Listen, there's no such a thing. Because anybody that's going to understand the Bible is going to understand it by a revelation of God or not. It doesn't matter if you're a PhD or just a child of 5 years old. It doesn't really matter. Look in verse 6. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk to them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. It is your responsibility. The same words. He says the same words. These words that I'm telling you, what I'm telling you right now, what is right here, don't water down. Just read it to them. Telling them about the things of God. And don't get a cup out saying, well, you know, it's somebody else's responsibility. I just need to move from church to another church because, you know, they don't have nothing for my children. No, sir. It is your responsibility. It's your privilege as a Christian parent to teach your children. I find myself, there was one time we were in a meeting. It was December the 31st. It was New Year's Eve. And we were just having church in our house in my mom's house with all my relatives, my brothers, and everybody was there. We're praying, and I was asking God to save my children. And my uncle was there. And then after, he's an Armenian, and he said, well, after we prayed and everything, he went and talked to me and said, well, why don't you just tell him to say the prayer, to pray with you? And I told him, I wasn't being rude or anything, I was being nice, but I wasn't being straight. I don't want you to talk to my children about things of God. I really don't. It is my privilege. But if you do talk to somebody about things of God, somebody's children, you better tell them the truth. My son, listen to what I'm telling you. That's just not even an introduction. That's just something I thought about. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. That's where I'm going to spend most of the time on. And the title of the message is Trust in the Lord. The book of Proverbs is of wisdom, the book of wisdom. Wisdom in itself is not just knowledge for knowledge's sake. Wisdom is even more than that. It's how to live. How to live this life. In fact, the Bible says if anybody lacks wisdom, let us God. How to deal with people. Do you have problems how to deal with people, how to deal with situations? I do. And I have to go to the Bible all the time and I have to ask God for wisdom because I have no idea what to do sometimes. But I know He does. And it's about how to live, how to do things, how to relate in my job, how to do my job, how to relate with my wife, how to relate with my neighbor, and it talks about ethics. Is it important how a Christian lives? One guy said, well, we live under grace, not under law. So, you know, it doesn't really matter how we live. I think Luther said one time, the only difference between us and the Catholics is the doctrine. Sometimes the only difference between the Calvinists and the Baptists is just the doctrine. Or the Armenians, whatever you want to put it. There's no difference. And I'm not just talking about you, I'm talking about me. It is important the way you live. That God will glorify Himself in the way you live, not in the way you do missions, but in the way you do your work at work. In the way you treat your wife, in the way you treat your children, in the way you cut the grass, in the way you everything is about God. Look with me in 1 Peter 2:11. Behold, O beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wages war against your soul. Keep your behavior excellent. What? Excellent. Blameless. That's what we have to do. Is walk blameless in this life. You have to not sin no more. Not even one more time. Your thoughts have to be God's thoughts. Your life, the way you walk, the way you treat your children, the way God's supposed to treat your children. Your wife, everything. It says right here, excellent behavior. Excellent. And not even one thing said bad about you. Not even one thing. There was one guy who said, well, we're all humans. No, sir, we are not humans. You didn't read what the Bible says. It says we are aliens. That's what it says right there, right? We're from somewhere else. And the Bible says not only that, it says right there, we are a holy priesthood. We are not like the world. We don't live like the world. We don't act like the world. We should not even smell like the world. We should hate the world with all our being. We have to live, work differently than the world does. With the same different mindset. Peter said that. Paul said that too. Ephesians 5:4. And there must be no filthiness, no silly talk. Talking about silly talk. Coarse gesturing. We are not feeding, but rather give thanks. Our talk has to be different. Our jokes have to be different. Some things are not even being mentioned, even being said. Not even touch that. Not even think about it. Put it aside. You want to be cute? You are being cute with the expense of the testimony of Christ. And sometimes we want to be cute, even as preachers. And we use words and we use jokes and we think it's fine. But it's not right. It's about wisdom. It's how to live. It is important how to live, how to talk, the way to do things. Jesus said it this way. Peter and Paul said it. Jesus said it too. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You have to provoke praise. Let me ask you a question. Is your employer praising God because he has you as an employee? Say, man, I wish everybody was like him. But it is about doing those things. It's not just like coming to church and just looking good on Sunday morning. It's how we live out there in the world. What we do. People see. People are seeing you. I find myself that people look at me when I work. They look at me. This is being recorded. Am I correct? Well, good. Because there's some people that are not Christians in my job. And they look at me. And it's an amazing feeling. It's a very responsible position that you put in. They might never enter a church. They might never see God, but they are seeing you, how you live. Mahatma Gandhi said one time that the only reason he wasn't a Christian is because the Christian did something, preached something, but did something else. It's how we live. And this father in Proverbs saying his son, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now when we say trust in the Lord, we have the idea that, well, just trust in the Lord, you know, just let it go. But it's not like that. When it says trust in the Lord, it means whenever you say trust, it's a connotation of giving it up. Just give it up. I was talking to Brother Barney and I said, Brother, what do you think? And he said, well, I just gave it up. Give it up thinking. And trusting in God, the word trust is just a connotation of just giving it up. Quit it. Try to figure it out. Just give it up and think the way God thinks. Quit trying to figure it out all your life, what you're going to spend your life on. Just quit it and just trust in God. Trust what He says about you. Now, if you're going to trust Him, it's a pitiful day. Sometimes you cannot even read your own writing. But it is true. Just quit. Just give it up. Quit thinking with your mind and leaning in your own understanding and just really think the way God thinks. It is right here. It is everything that you need to know. Everything in your whole entire life, your 50 years, 100 years, whatever, how many years you're going to live, it's in this book. It's right here. It's contained. The mind of God is right here. You have a question about anything, go to the book and go in prayer with God and God will reveal it to you. He will tell you what you need to do. Trust in God. Trust in God in what He says about you. Trust in the Lord in what He says about you. Now, I went to the fair here months ago and I was packing some tracks. It is amazing, sadly amazing what people think of themselves. There was a guy, tall, I mean, huge. This guy was huge. And I was passing out tracts and I told him, man, have you ever heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? And I'm being careful about lying, brother, here. Okay? I'm not lying. The Lord knows this is true. I am the trying. He said, no, I never heard that. He said, well, the first thing I tell you is that you're a sinner and that you're in trouble. And he said, well, I never sin. I said, you have to be kidding me. I said, no, I never sin. I said, sir, you are a sinner. No, I never sin. And she wasn't kidding. Trust in the Lord in what He says about you. Trust Him. It is true that we are sinners, that you are a sinner. It is true that we have gone our own way. It is true. Trust what He says. Trust that we cannot do it without Him. Trust Him. But many times the world is calling us and saying, no, you can't. No, you're not that bad. Oh, everybody has problems. We as human. Things like that. Humanism in your mind. But listen, trust in the Lord. The Lord says that you're a sinner, and you are a sinner, and you are in need of a Savior. Trust in that. Trust in the Lord. Sometimes we take this passage and say, well, that means trusting the Lord means this, you know, just, what do I want to, you know, what do you want me to do, Lord? You know, and you just go live constantly. What shoes am I going to wear? What food am I going to eat, Lord? I mean, what do you want me to do today, right now, this minute? You want me to comb my hair this way or that way, or I don't know, wear purple socks? So I don't know. But people are like that. I tell you this because I used to be like that. I don't think it means that. It doesn't mean that. There was one guy that I read that in a book. There was one guy that was trying to figure out what to do with his life. He was walking on the street, fell on a map, on a banana peel. He fell on a map, and his right hand fell on India. So, well, I guess God wants me to be a missionary to India. That's a pretty shallow theology, don't you think? Imagine you fell on the concrete. I mean, well, then what are you going to do? I'm here to tell you the will of God for you. I'm just about to tell you the will of God for your life. You want to hear it? Quit trying to figure out what's cool to go to. Or what person to love. I mean, maybe you're a young man right now. How many are seeking for a wife right now? I know you don't want to raise your hand because you want to sound spiritual and say, well, I don't want a wife right now. But you know in your heart that you want somebody to love. Somebody to spend your life with. You know that. Because that's the word. God created you. I know you. But I tell you one thing. I give you somebody you need to love. It's Christ. Christ. Love Him. He'll give you somebody to love too. You don't have to worry about who you're going to marry. What am I supposed to do with my life? What work should I spend on? I tell you what work you should do. You should go to the vineyard of God and just work. Right there. Well, no, I'm talking about what work do I need to do. Well, just wherever they're hiring, just go over there and work. Just get a job. Well, what school should I go to? Well, what school am I need to go to? I tell you one school you need to go to. The school of God. I tell you one thing about the school of God. The school of God, the tuition is free. Now, your parents would like that. Tuition is free. Graduation is up in the heavens. And the reward is Himself. So if you want to be a disciple, a student, be a student of God. I am trying to tell you to trust in God. To trust in the Lord. What He says about you. You are a sinner. You are in trouble. trusting God. Don't trust what people tell you. Don't trust them. Trust what the Word of God says. Look, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." I'm trying to pronounce it. I can pronounce it in Spanish, but you don't understand me. Some of you will, though. Let me read it to you. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's you. Trust God on that. Trust God on that. He's telling you the truth. Trust God on something else too. You are in trouble. You're in trouble. You see, the problem with sinning is not that you're sinning against me. You see, I cannot do nothing to you. You slap me, I might just don't say nothing. You hit me, I might just fall. I'm not a very good fighter. In fact, whenever I was in my fourth grade, somebody fought me, and he just, with one punch, just put me down. But I tell you right now, if you fight against God, you're in trouble. Let me show you what the Bible says about this. It only took one punch to bring this man down. Look with me in Isaiah. In fact, he didn't do anything. He just showed him. He showed up, and his heart melted. Isaiah 6, verse 5. God doesn't have to pull no punches. He just has to just show up. When he showed up, his glory showed up, his holiness showed up, and the angels were singing, "Holy, holy, holy." That's the problem. You have sinned against a holy, holy, holy God. And whenever that is real, whenever God himself opened your eyes to this, you will cry out just like Isaiah said, "Woe to me! Woe! I am ruined!" And that's the thing. The thing is, right now, you are ruined. You're in so much trouble, you don't even know it. Because you are listening to everybody else, you're not trusting God, what he says about you, and what he says the trouble you're in. You hear everybody else, "Oh, I'm okay, I'm not that bad, I'm not like that man over there. Oh, I'm okay, I go to church, I've been baptized 7 times, oh, my church role is over there." And all these kind of things. You're not listening to God. You're not trusting what God says about you. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord what he says about Jesus. Trust in the Lord. Let me give you another passage of scripture in John chapter 1, verse 26. John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water. But among you stands one who whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of the sandal whose I'm not worthy to unite." This thing took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan when John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Trust God on that. Trust God on that. He takes the sin of the world. Man, if you have sinned, trust God on that. Put your whole trust in him, what he says about Christ. Brother Jennings, have you gotten a rotten deal, brother? From God? Anybody here? By trusting him. You will never find anybody that has trusted God and had a rotten deal. I tell you right now, if you trust him right now, if you trust him right now, you will not get a rotten deal. He will be faithful to you. He will be faithful to himself too. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord what he says about this world. This world is passing by. Yeah, that's not true. Yes, it is. He's just going, man. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit wrote. James 4:14. Yet, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Oh, you're pretty strong right now. Strong, young, good looking. That disappears. It's gone. Brother, do you remember when you were 9? It was yesterday. You feel that time just goes by so fast. You cannot even hold it if you want to. Believe, trust in the Lord about that. Yes. That your life is a vapor.
Right.
Today you're here, tomorrow you're gone, and whatever else, your spirit would spend eternity in hell if you don't turn to Christ. If you don't trust Christ. Right. Trust God about that. Trust in the Lord. But we don't. We are like the fool of Luke 12:20. So many times I find myself looking at this passage. He told a parable of the land of a rich man. You see, it wasn't about the rich man, it was about the land. He forgot about that. It wasn't him who was rich. It was the land. See, the land is God's. It's going to be here whenever you die. So we have God's land. He said, and began to reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. You see, good planning. You got good crops. Good planning. He had everything laid down. And he said he had many years. He had a 401k to last many years. Good retirement system. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. I only have to say that one time. And that's it. The qualification to being a fool is to just live the life the way you want to, be married, do whatever you want to do, and you exactly, you fit the picture of this man right here. Life is not about getting, it's about giving. It's about waiting for the next life better than this one. It goes like this. Jesus said it. If you want to keep your life, you're going to lose it.
Right.
Lose it, man. You know what I keep it anyway. Put on makeup and buy those things that you shock yourself with a thing in your face and makes you look younger. You know, you try to do all the exercises and get, you know, I don't know, all kinds of pills in your body, and you try to remain and retain years, but they're flying off. You're going to end up like Michael Jackson. Trying to go to sleep at night, he had to shut himself with so many drugs, he couldn't even go to sleep. All the money could not buy him sleep. What a thing. It's a vapor. It's going. Have your mind in eternity. Put your eyes in the next world, because this world is passing away. Trust in the Lord in what He says about this world is passing away. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord what He says. And then He says, the psalmist says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the heart is involved. It doesn't say trust in the Lord with all your mind. Imagine saying that to your wife. Honey, I love you with my mind. You just look good on paper. Your dad is rich. You have a nice car. And you just look good on paper. No. Love is not a mathematical, calculated thing. Passion is involved in this thing. Passion. With all your heart. I mean, just love with all your heart. I mean, trust him with all your heart. Well, he says it's true. Just with all your heart, just submit in love to him. What you say is true. Well, how am I going to live this life? Well, I'm going to go into the Bible, and I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to be asking the Spirit of God to show me how I need to raise my children. What do I need to do with this problem that I have? What I need to do with the car that doesn't work? What I need to do with the job that I need to accomplish? I am going to go to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to go to the Bible, and I'm going to ask God to lead me. And I'm going to love it. And I'm going to be passionate about it. You see, the thing about the heart involves love. I like commitment. I like commitment. But I think sometimes there's too much emphasis on commitment. I'm not saying that I don't want to be committed. But I think sometimes people just want to just try to be committed. Listen. If he's doing whatever you ask him to do, whoever it is, not out of the heart, pretty soon, whenever you're not there, he's going to quit doing it. The purpose of our teaching is not for people to do, just for doing, but to love doing. I read that in the Bible, Brother Barney. 1 Timothy. The heart is involved. Chapter 1. Verse 4. Nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which is give rise or to mere speculations rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But our goal. But the goal. That's what it says right here in the New American Standard. But the goal of our instruction, what is it? Do people just start doing things the way I say it? No. What is it? It's love. Charity. Out of a pure heart. So when you're not there, they're still doing it. When you're not looking at it, they're still doing it because they love it. You see, I don't have to be on Brother Barney's for him to love his wife. Because he just loves her. Naturally, he just loves her. You don't have to be on me telling me, hey, you need to love your wife now. You need to give her a little sugar. No. I do that fine without nobody telling me. Because I love her. But the thing is that if you have to, somebody constantly be telling you that you need to read your Bible, pray, you need to go to church, you need to do all these things, it is not in you. It is not in you. It is not in you. And the Bible says right here, with all your heart, trust him with all your heart, be passionate about it. Like you love a woman. Like you love something. Love your kids. Be passionate about things of God like that. Trust him. Don't lose that passion. The worst times of my Christian life is whenever I'm dull. Whenever I'm dull. When I feel like, oh, please, Lord, help me here. But the easiest time. The easiest time you feel like running and jumping and leaping is whenever I'm loving Jesus with all my heart. And there's nothing between me and him. And there's just an open space and just a passion to love him. You've been there, right? You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but you've been there, haven't you? But nothing matters but Him. With all your heart. Jesus put it this way. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not the other way around. If you keep my commandments, you will be loving me. He doesn't say that. You're not doing something to gain something. You're doing something out of love. And that's true Christianity, my friend. That's the real thing, the real McCoy. Do you have that? Somebody constantly has to be on you, telling you, and dragging you, and pushing you. We need admonition. We do need admonition. But it must be real in your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And look what it says. Proverbs. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Yeah, you're going through this life. Don't be frozen up. Don't just stand, you know, just say, well, I don't know what to do. No, just live for the Lord. Just do your routine life. I was talking to a brother and said, you know, when I hear people in the mission field, you know, God did this and God did that. I said, man, I'm just living in Cookville. I'm just living just regular life. That's what it is to be a Christian. I mean, just go to work, take care of your children, your wife, pay your bills, cut the lawn. That's just Christian living. That's everyday life. In that, can we be satisfied just on that? Just to walk with Jesus every single day. Can we just be satisfied on that? Or are we just shooting about something? Man, my ministry is not complete because I haven't been to so many places or something. You see what I'm talking about? Sometimes we feel this small because we haven't been and we haven't done and we haven't, you know, shoot here and do that. But it's an everyday living, brother. They're walking constantly with the Lord. I just live in Cookville. I just work for the Social Security office. I go over there and type my password and get in the computer and take some claims and clear some claims. And I do that all for the glory of God. You see what I'm talking about? Just acknowledge Him that He's in control of everything. And He will make your path straight. It doesn't say you will make your path straight. He will do that. Let me tell you something about my path being made straight. And then I finish. I left Mexico when I was 15. I believe I was a Christian. I went to San Antonio and lived with a family, American family, for 3 years. Went to school there. I got in so much trouble. I ended up doing so many things that I knew that were wrong. Literally, I really believe that I had no supervision. I got in so much sin. And I struggled. And my brother talked to me about giving it all up. I had a car. I had this family took me in. They were well off, and they gave me a place to live, and they gave me money, and I just was going to school there. And my brother talked to me about the Lord. Just told me, you have to just give it all up. Just go back home, and I did. It was my junior year. I needed one more year to graduate from high school. I had no idea how I was going to graduate from high school. I was legally an alien. I had a visa. I used to study here. And I went back home. I gave it all up. I remember one day that I had hundreds of dollars worth in heavy metal music. And I just put them all up and I said, I'm tired of this life. And ran over my car with it. And just gave it all up. Went back home and I didn't know how I was going to go to school. The Lord opened the door for me to go to a private school in Harlingen, Valley Baptist Academy. And I was trusting the Lord. It is not something like a supernatural faith that you have. Man, I'm trusting God. It was just a very little, tiny, very little faith. But I was trusting God with what I knew. I went to the school, graduated from the school, and there was a possibility of going to East Texas Baptist University from that school. They were connected, and they gave me a scholarship. And I went there. I met my wife. I started going, and I was asked to be a youth minister in Henderson. We drove for 3 years from Marshall, about an hour, every Wednesday, every Sunday. College student, no money. I wasn't working. After I met my wife, I became a resident. I'm retrospecting now, and I'm thinking, you know, what about in that day I came to this camp? Because back then when I was going to school, this camp was going on. You know what? It wasn't the time. Because if I came, I would say, man, there's a bunch of weird people here. Truly, I would say that. But I was trusting in the Lord. I was doing what I thought it was right before God. And I was just trusting God. And then I moved to Mount Pleasant. And then one in 2002, I heard a sermon by Paul Washer preaching. And that changed everything. Praise God. And so now I'm here. And you see, it's not like you are frozen up waiting for God to straighten your path and then you go. You just take the first step and you just go and go and go. And God is going to lead you. God is going to lead you. You just trust Him. You just trust Him. And the problem with this curvy road, you don't see ahead. But whenever you look back, you see that it's straight. I'm thinking now, what about if I never went, I never left San Antonio, I never went to BBA, I never met my wife, I never went to Mount Pleasant, I never heard Paul Washer, I never came to this camp, I never learned all these things. He will straighten your path. He promised that. Trust Him. So what you have to do is just live life trusting God. Whenever you retrospect in your life, you'll see everything fits together neatly because He did it, not because you tried to do it. Just trust Him. Trust in the Lord. Amen.